This is Valley Edition. I'm Carrie Klein. Earlier this week, the State Department of Public Health urged Californians to stop vaping immediately, less than a week after Governor Newsom signed an executive order to curb vaping among youth. And yet, unlike many other states, the legislature has yet to pass a single law related to vaping. To understand why, I spoke with Ben Christopher, a politics reporter who covered the end of this year's legislative session in Sacramento for Cal Matters. Okay, Ben, so let's start with the executive order that Governor Newsom signed last week. What was in this executive order?
Sure. So this was just the first work day after the end of the legislative session. The governor came out on that Monday morning and announced that he was signing an executive order to direct the state's health regulators to crack down on black market vaping products and e-cigarette products, to develop new anti-vaping information campaigns targeted at young voters, and then also to ask his tax authorities to potentially reset the way that vaping products are taxed in a way that would effectively raise the taxes on those products.
And how does this compare to what's happening in some other state legislatures and governor's offices around the country?
Sure. So the obvious comparison here is with what Governor Andrew Cuomo just recently did in New York, and also what Michigan has done, which is to impose a flat ban on flavored e-cigarette products and vaping products. So these are bans on flavored tobacco products like mango or watermelon or even mint flavored. In New York, there is an exception for menthol flavored. But the point being that a lot of public health experts believe that these are uniquely appealing to young smokers, underage smokers. And so I think a lot of public health advocates were hoping to see something similar from Gavin Newsom, but the governor insists that he, under the California Constitution, he doesn't have the authority to go quite that far. So he said that this executive order is about as far as he can go, and he actually put a request out to the legislature next year to send him a bill that would impose such a ban on flavored products.
So why was an executive order even necessary here? I mean, didn't a number of state legislators already introduce their own bills to curb vaping earlier in the year?
They did. So at the beginning of the legislative session, there were more than half a dozen bills introduced to put new restrictions on this industry in various ways, including two bills that would have banned flavored products, but most of these bills either died in the legislative process or watered down so thoroughly that they were removed from consideration. Most recently, Assemblyman Adam Gray from Merced, he's the chair of the Government Organization Committee, which is, for obscure reasons, is the committee that deals with tobacco and smoking-related bills. He introduced his own bill, which ramped up enforcement of bans on underage smoking, increased fines, put some advertising bans in place on flavored products, and also put a limited ban on certain flavored products, but made an exemption for menthol and mint. That got quite a bit of pushback from public health organizations that felt like that was a loophole that was a little bit too large. And so it became kind of a controversial piece of legislation. Eventually it was watered down to the point where it actually made a few tweaks to California law, but was a fairly modest change. And then in the final days of the legislative session, just to get in the weeds here, Assemblyman Gray actually shelved the bill, saying that he wanted to come back next year in January to make it stronger, potentially shifting the way that taxes are imposed on vaping products in exactly the way that the governor has just suggested. And so I'm sure we're going to see the legislature pick up where they left off in January.
Okay, so Gray's bill got kind of watered down and eventually tabled. What happened to all the other ones that you mentioned?
So the two that would have banned flavored vaping products outright, one was killed in Assemblyman Gray's committee. It was killed there. And then another one was watered down in another committee. Those amendments that were made actually made an exemption for menthol and mint products. And the author of that bill, Senator Jerry Hill from Silicon Valley, he felt like that was – that menthol and mint are particularly popular flavors, and so he felt like that was a loophole that was too large to stomach.
Okay, and so we've mentioned Assemblymember Adam Gray of Merced a couple times. And so, of course, as you said, he's the author of one of these bills that got tabled, but he was also in one of the committees or chairing one of the committees that ended up tabling some of these others. I mean, why is he kind of a recurring character here in this story?
Well, it's a good question. So Assemblyman Gray is the chair of this committee through which any tobacco-related legislation has to pass. And so he is inherently just has a role in these conversations. He's also considered a bit more moderate than many of his colleagues in the Democratic caucus. And so I think for from the perspective of some public health activists, they were concerned that he was going to introduce legislation that was going to be a little bit too favorable to the industry. And so when he came out with his bill in July, which provided some tweaks to the law, but provided this loophole for menthol and mint, there was a lot of outrage and a lot of skepticism. They said that it was basically a scam or a window dressing on the issue. These public health advocates were able to negotiate with Gray's office to get to the point where everyone was in support of the bill. But I think everyone basically acknowledged that the bill that Assemblyman Gray eventually put forward was probably didn't go as far as they would have liked. And so it was kind of a surprise at the end of the legislative session when he announced that he wanted to hold off on the bill so that it could be made stronger. In other words, he's still not considering a ban on flavored products outright, but the fact that he wants to increase taxes on vaping products, I think, took some people by surprise.
And so all of this is with the backdrop that that Juul, one of the country's leading e-cigarette manufacturers, just in the last year has donated over $30,000 to Assemblyman Gray and some associated committees. I mean, is that significant enough to play a role here in how he's kind of managing and navigating these waters?
Well, certainly he would say no. I put this question to him, and he said that there is absolutely no connection between the money that he raises on the campaign trail and the public policy positions that he takes. It's also worth pointing out that because he is the chair of the Government Organization Committee, which deals with any tobacco-related legislation, that it makes sense that Juul would direct money his way. But certainly critics of Gray might draw different conclusions.
Okay, well, so the legislative session is now over. What's next when it comes to what action lawmakers or Newsom could make on this issue in the next couple months?
Well, it's a good question. So this executive order is going to go into effect. It actually asks the governor's health and taxing authorities to look into what those next steps are, how they could go about making tweaks to the state's regulatory structure in a way that doesn't require new legislation. And I'm sure, as the legislature is in recess for the next 4 months, lawmakers will be thinking of ways to take up this issue in January. And certainly, this has become a public health scare at the national level, and so I think this is on most legislators' minds in one way or the other.
Okay, well, Ben Christopher is a reporter covering politics and elections for CalMatters. Ben, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Hey, thank you.